Today on Real Radio.
Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity savior. He's in the middle of both of them. Both start the day out cursing. One keeps his mouth flapping. The other one shuts up and starts to think.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 23. In the verses we're examining, we're told of a conversation that took place among the Messiah and two other individuals who were all dying on Roman crosses. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called With Me in Paradise.
We think in our humanity, in our secularism, that if we have enough education, look, I'm not putting down education, but when education becomes preeminent over your knowledge of God and you sacrifice your knowledge of God for education, it becomes an idol. And the Bible warns us throughout human history. History itself warns us that when you attempt to redeem yourself through education, you'll lose every time. Secondly, man's secular attempt will see if politics can create a utopia on earth, and you'll lose every time. Oh, politics is the answer. No, it's not. Godly government's the answer. Big difference. And then thirdly, it's religion. Religion's the answer. No, it's not. And I find it interesting that collectively, Pilate puts that up. And then also look at this. Secondly, under this point is that because of his mission, Jesus is the Christ of God. Verse 39, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Wow. With this criminal accuses Jesus of being evil and of wrongdoing. That's what his accusations mean. He's accusing, hey, save yourself, save everybody. The word implies you can't. He is saying Jesus can't save. And by the way, you say, well, who would ever say such a thing like that? You think about that statement for a moment. People say that all the time. People who reject Christ are saying that very thing. Jesus can't save. When people say, whoa, what are you going to do? Give me Jesus. They are saying Jesus can't save. They're saying the exact same thing that this thief is saying. It's powerful. Blasphemo is the word that he says or declares, and that is to vilify. The word means to accuse someone of wrongdoing, evil, to slander them. He is slandering Jesus. He's accusing Jesus of evil doing, meaning this, that whatever Jesus is doing, it's time to stop your stunt. It's time to stop goofing off Jesus and get off the cross and go back home where you came from. It's to belittle him. The truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is on a mission, and that mission is that he's the Christ of God. Very strong thing, very strong statement he makes. Listen, to blasphemy, we think that blasphemy is to cuss or to curse. Oh, that guy's over there really blaspheming God. That's not what it means. You know what? To cuss or to curse is to cuss or to curse. And God says, I don't like that. To blaspheme is something way worse. You know when you talk about taking the Lord's name in vain? In our culture, we have somehow thought that it means to cuss. That's not what the word means. To take the Lord's name in vain is to live a life that is unworthy of his name. People who are full-blown pagan, atheistic, evolutionary in their thinking, secularist, they don't take the Lord's name in vain because they don't even claim to know the Lord. They're just lost. A person who says, yeah, I believe God's real. Yeah, I know God. Oh yeah, I read the Bible. Oh, I go to church. And you live as though you don't, that's blasphemy. Did you know that? It's to know and to not do. The human mind without God in it becomes what the Bible says is reprobate. We know this even from social sciences. When God dies in the mind of a man, then that man turns and kills man. Think about that. David had Uriah killed, did he not? Bathsheba's husband? Because David began to see himself as being the end all to everything. He got so arrogant in his position that his whole army went to war, and he thought, well, you know what? Things are so cool. I don't have to go to war. I'm just going to stay home, sleep in. Sleeps in, walks out, looks around. Whoa! Who's that chick over there? Woo! Well, the knucklehead should have been at war, for one thing. Goes down, looks at a roof, looks at that roof, and there she is over there naked down below him taking a bath somewhere in some other roof. He probably wanted to jump over there like Spider-Man. You could just see him. Oh, man, who's that? Get that for me. Get her for me, he says. How could you decide? How can you think like that? I know how you can think like that when God's not in your thoughts. Look, you're not going to like this, but this it's just too bad. This is the way it is. The fact, when God's not in your thoughts, you do naughty stuff. You don't think God's looking. The mind without God does naughty stuff. Begins to go reprobate, the Bible says. And we live in that culture now, and it's getting worse. Now, some of you are saying, man, I don't know where you live. It's not like that where I live. Well, listen, you need to get engaged in your culture more. There's stuff being taught to your children that would make you sick if you only knew. Like, if you're a little boy, you can go use the girls' bathroom today because you feel like using the girls' bathroom today. Think of that. The Bible says in Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything they see, hear, and do is seen through dirty lens. They see something and it's filthy. They hear something and they got to make some comeback nasty comment about it. They're cynical, gossiping, critical. Nothing's holy, just, and pure with them. That's a reprobate mind. And this guy is going off on Jesus. Which leads us to this. Verse 40 to 41, Jesus is the judge of man or mankind. Now, don't lose heart and don't run out of the building, because I think you're going to be surprised. It's true, Jesus is the judge of all mankind. But check this out. But the other, that's the other criminal, answered and rebuked his partner in crime, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're getting what we had coming to us. But this man has done nothing wrong. Church, mark this down. Don't forget it. It's Matthew 27, 44. It's awesome. Here's the reason why. The day didn't start out like that. That guy didn't come to Jesus' rescue from the cross like that as the day began. No, the day began, the Bible says in Matthew 27, 44, that both those robbers who were crucified with Jesus reviled him with the same words. They're both cursing him. They're both blaspheming him. Are you guys with me? Are you listening? Both people are issuing words against Jesus, who, mind you, is equal distance from both these men. Jesus is in the middle. And they're both attacking him as the day begins. Wow. Something happens. Verse 40 and 41 tells us this guy's mind is beginning to change. Something wakes up. This is absolutely amazing. Why? Because mark this. Look back at our opening verse. Do you see where the people looked on him? Circle the word. To look on him means that they were dumbfounded, mouth shut, silent, right? The next argument is these two men are railing against Jesus, and all of a sudden, this guy begins to go silent too. Something is happening. He's waking up to something. Look, I wrote it down in my notes. I believe it's true. It's a big statement, but I'll read it to you. It says, this is perhaps the most wonderful event in man's history. You say, what is? That this man's mind is changed on the cross. You say, man, you're losing me. That's a big statement. Of course I know it's a big statement, but you want to know why? His conscience is beginning to kick in. He's starting to think. Everybody else is going with the crowd. This guy stops and he begins to think. He begins to wonder and to look around at his situation. I'm crucified. I'm not walking away from this. And without mentioning the word, Dr. Luke, the author of this gospel, tells us that this man's course of life changed in an instant of time. Metanoia took place. Say, meta what? Metanoia, changing of the mind. That's why I say this is the most remarkable spot in the Bible. A man who is condemned to hell is cursing the only one who can save him. He stops and begins to think. He hears Jesus say earlier, moments earlier, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is not normal. Who is this man? The word implies that he looked at himself, he looked at Jesus, he looked at his partner in crime, and then he looked back at himself. We're in grave danger, church, when we look at other people only. Or we look so much at God in such a way that we don't look at other people. No, look at ourselves, take inventory. Look at Christ and look at the rest of the world. Conclusion, we need him. Both men again, Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity Savior. He's in the middle of both of them. Both start the day out cursing. One keeps his mouth flapping. The other one shuts up and starts to think. On the cross, mind you. What a tremendous thing. The Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 19, Arise, O Lord, and let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. That's what's going on at the cross. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Listen, that man is hanging there condemned, and he knew it. And now he's beginning to think, I'm being judged by God. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 2, 18, in Revelation 19, 12, it says there that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his eyes are as a flame of fire. Think about that. Last and final point, it's right here. With me in paradise, verses 42 to 43, because of his invitation. This is absolutely amazing. Because of his invitation. Look at verse 42. Faith is awakened. And you know what's amazing, church? Faith can be awakened in your life at any time. No man knows what it's going to trigger it. Look at verse 42. Faith is awakened. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Stop right there. Remember the guy I told you about going down the freeway yesterday morning? Driving along. I got my SUV. I can go 60 miles an hour in the flood. And all of a sudden, right? He starts to pray, no doubt. What's in his thoughts? What's in his mind? What's he thinking about? Situations awaken things within us. People have a change of mind. We'll all agree with that. Something happens in life where our minds are changed. It's amazing. It's kind of it's sad and great at the same time. As we get older, we get really wise. We get wiser. That's why, frankly, personally, according to 1 and 2 Timothy in the book of Titus, there should be an old man and old woman's ministry here where a bunch of gray-haired people filled with the Holy Spirit walk around here telling us all what to do. You want to know why? Because they've lived it. I said filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a big difference. There's nothing worse than to be gray-headed and stupid. But it is awesome to be gray-headed and wise. That's biblical. Experience in life. Things awaken faith. This guy, in our opinion, in our 21st century, breaks all the rules. He's on the cross, stripped naked, hanging there. He's got no pockets. He can't give any money. He's a mess. He's condemned. You think he cares now? All of a sudden, something happens. I can't explain it. I can just tell you this, that he says, look at the word, look in your Bible, circle it. What's the first word he says? Lord. What? Lord, remember me. My thought is this, Jesus could have looked over at him and said, remember what? There's nothing to remember about you. You're a thief, a criminal, a bum, a rapist, a mugger, an arrogant. Why should I remember you? The man says, Lord, remember me. You know, we could end this service right now just on that statement. He calls Jesus Lord. Can you? Number two, remember me. Listen, do you not want God to not remember you in a lot of areas? Oh man, I hope the Lord doesn't remember this when I was 17. Oh man. This guy says, remember me. He knows something that maybe not all of us know. In an instant, his mind's changed. Lord, yes, what is it? Remember me. I recognize you're the Lord. And I know something that if you're doing this here and now, church, listen. If you're doing this here and now, right here, you, Lord, then you're not going to remember what I am. You're going to remember who I am. You're going to remember that you died for me. And so, will you remember me? This is massive faith. Huge faith. We get so messed up, you guys. We are so far from understanding what God wants us to know that this man, in a moment, as salvation is happening to him, he says, Lord, remember me. He's completely confident that the Lord's recollection of him will be good for him. That's how you and I are supposed to live. When your child says, Mommy, remember me. You don't say, oh, you little diaper pooping maniac. Stinker and all, you love them. We allow that. Can we let God allow that in your life? And that leads to anticipation. Look at verse 42. Hope is anticipated because of the invitation of Jesus Christ that's coming. Look, he says, then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Not if, when. I believe you're the Lord. I believe that my past doesn't matter. And I believe you're coming back. This is awesome. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 7, that in the ages to come, God might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting in this man. And then look at this, finally. Love is conqueror. Love is conqueror. Love is the victor. Verse 43, and Jesus said to him, hang on to your seat. Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, man. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradisimos. In the garden of God. The word, check it out. The word means to hold his hand and to walk through the garden of God. You want to know why that's significant? Because it opens up in Genesis, and Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. Jesus says, listen, can you imagine? Jesus says, take my hand. The word he used is, take my hand. We're going to take a walk. We're going to the garden of God. Look, you guys, come on. This is the way to go to the garden of God right here. Nope, if I blow myself up, I'm going to go to paradise. No, you're not. No. Jesus says, take my hand. I'll walk you there. Okay, let me guess. What makes sense? You can't destroy yourself to earn salvation. That would be works. Boom. It didn't work. Jesus says, come with me. Come with me. Absolute confidence. The thief on the cross, listen, my friends, was he baptized? No. Should we? Yes, but if you sign up to be baptized and you're driving down to the beach to get baptized and you get killed, You think God's going to say, oh, you were so close. GPS said you only had 2 miles. Missed your destination. He was not baptized. The guy goes to heaven. Who said, Jesus? When? Today. Did he give any money? Nope, he had no pockets. Assuredly means amen, it is true. I say to you, it's a military term. It's a word of authority. Today means today. You will be with me, I'll hold your hand. Paradisimo, the destination, is paradise. What an awesome thing. I believe that God the Father was stirring the heart of this man to give Jesus his first reward on the cross. The Bible says in Psalm 2, verse 8, that the Lord will give Christ the heathen for his reward. Isn't that cool? This guy's getting saved right in front of us. And I want to ask you this. Who do you know in this world that can forgive you like that? Huh? And who do you know in this world that can do that instantly? So I wrote this down. I wrote this down 3 times. It would take someone not of this world to do such a thing. And then I wrote it this way. It would take someone not of this world to do such a thing. And then I wrote it the 3rd time this way. It would take someone not of this world to do such a thing. He's absolutely your only hope. And that's all you need. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, last verse of the day. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 says this. As God's follower or fellow workers, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That's what we're saying right now, to come to Christ. He did this for you. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now, when, church, when? Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called With Me in Paradise. A look at Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 23, which tells us of a conversation that took place among the Messiah and 2 others who were all dying on Roman crosses. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you ever given much thought to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Have you thought about which side to support? Are the Jews occupying the land? Perhaps the ultimate question is, what does Scripture say about which side we believers should take? Ever since her rebirth in 1948, the United States has consistently stood by Israel's side. But some fear that that tide, unfortunately, is changing. Learn why our nation, and especially we who follow Israel's Messiah, must stand with Israel in Pastor Jack's DVD presentation that goes by that very title, Stand with Israel. Now here's our offer. We'll send to you Pastor Jack's timely DVD, Stand with Israel, for your gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for the DVD by name, Stand with Israel. Visit realradioactive.org to learn more, realradioactive.org. You can also make your request there, as well as your contribution, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.